Now, this Saturday at Club Menangle is the annual Schweppes Pacing for Pink Race Night, supporting the McGrath Foundation. It's always a special evening at Club Menangle. There are plenty of hospitality and entertainment options available, including the Miracle Mile restaurant. Just head to clubmenangle.com.au, clubmenangle.com.au, to secure your night out. But as always, we also have some great tickets to give away here on the Big Sports Breakfast. We have a double pass to the Miracle Mile restaurant, including a delicious two-course meal, exclusive betting facilities, beverage package, and brilliant views of the track. Now, we want your best tip for today's racing at Club Menangle. Text it in. So text your best tip for today's racing at Club Menangle. Text it 0419 767 272. That's 0419 767 272. Give us your pitch. Loz will select a few for Bet's friends, as he does, and we'll pick our winner for the tickets as well. Brad Rosen is joining us this morning. If you're just tuning in, Pup, we think he's back next week from the IPL. Not sure what day, but I've been told he's back next week.
He's back.
The big fella.
From him?
Yeah. Got a lot of questions to ask the pup.
Well, just for old time's sake, Denny, can you go and crash pup at the airport? Morning to you, mate. How are you?
Mate, nothing would give me more pleasure. I haven't seen any pictures of his beautiful face recently.
No, I've got a lot of questions I've got to ask him, Denny.
On air or off?
Well, Loz, both.
Loz, you're the man to ask the questions. You've got exclusive access to the great pup.
All right. Well,
and we're relying on you to get to the bottom of every story.
Yes. There's ones that are just sort of bubbling behind the scenes that I want to find out about. And there's ones that have been in the paper that I want to find out about.
No, I want the ones that are bubbling. The ones we're interested in.
He's certainly due.
With the great pupster.
What's that?
He's certainly due for a
for a story soon, isn't he?
Oh,
it's too long.
Mate, please.
What's it been, 3 weeks? He hasn't had a story in the paper?
Is he in Pakistan?
Nah, India. He went to Pakistan, okay. And then he came home, and then he's back over to India.
Hmm. Mate, don't the Daily Mail have a branch there?
Probably do.
The pup branch?
The pup branch. It's just one.
Guess where I'm up to this morning, guys?
Where are you?
Where do you reckon?
South.
Out at What's South. Yep. Where else would you be? Hello there, new venue.
How does it play out, Denny?
Laurie, there's just been a lot of noise for a long time now, hasn't there? And behind the scenes, there's a lot of chat about, you know, players not being developed properly. It's pretty significant. I know it's only one player, but the fact that they're willing to give Lachie Ilias permission to go and talk to other clubs after Jason Demetriou declared that he was the next sort of big thing, next big halfback at South Sydney, and put his faith in him, along with others, ahead of Adam Reynolds. And now that sort of looks to have blown up at South, doesn't it? And I think it's a sign that things are changing. Whether or not we're going to see the change today, that there has to be some kind of... They can't just let this slide for much longer. Aren't they last on the table last time I looked? Mm. Is that right? And their defensive record is, like, horrendous. And there are people within the club who are saying this is not good enough. Whether it's all the coach's fault, I don't think that's fair to blame everything on the coach. However, in these instances, the coach will often be the one who has to wear everything. As you've seen before, it's easier to get rid of a coach than get rid of players. Now, I've been speaking to South officials who say they don't know how it's going to go today. So, you know, there's been a lot of noise, hasn't there?
Yeah. And has he got supporters in there, Denny? Or have the supporters now start to wane? Like they're starting to lose confidence in him?
Well, is that like a play on words there, Wayne Bennett? Or
Well, it was.
I think that you hear talk that they're not happy with how things are going. And that's not coming from outside the club. That's coming from within the club, right? You've seen all of the kerfuffle with the Burgess stuff. That sort of, you know, the more you look at what Sam said, the more he looks smart.
Yeah.
And you know, the more like people have questioned a number of their decisions at the club.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the way that the team has played on the field this year and for the back half of last year, it's been well below what is acceptable for the South Sydney club.
Yeah. What's your gut feel today, again, though, Denny? What's your gut feel?
Laurie, look, everything points towards you know, a decision on his future being bad for Jason.
Hmm.
Whether he sees out the season or whether he goes now, you know, and I'm not cheering for Jason Demetriou to lose his job. I think he's a very decent man. I think he can coach, but it just doesn't appear to have worked out at South for him this year. And he knew coming into this year that this was after they backed him over the Burgess stuff. He knew he had to get instant results. He knew that without, you know, some sort of positivity. And look, there was talk that he was going to be punted a couple of weeks ago, and he's survived that. And it just won't go away. And look, they're not going to beat Penrith, are they? So
no.
Yeah. Danny, the question I want to ask is, when does it get to a stage where it's like, we've still got this year to go? Like, you know, like you're talking, does the coach stay? Does he go? Ilias, we know the situation there. Oh, we're bringing in this new halfback, but it's 2025. So when does the thing say, well, hang on, we've got to start to look after this club? This season, you can pretty much say it's done, but you could still scrape into the eight. We've seen it all before. We just had someone from Sydney FC.
The way they're playing.
Yeah, you don't think so, but that's where a change could happen. We've seen where coaches do get changed, and whilst it's not the coach's fault, it re-envisages. Like, when do you get the stage where it's like, we've got to make a decision?
The thing is, right, there doesn't appear to be a quick fix at South, right? Mm. I don't think, will moving Jason on suddenly change things? Oh, I don't think it will. I feel like they're in for a bit of pain now, aren't they? Like their problem appears to be they've got these flashy players who we all love to watch, but unfortunately, where they've been found out is in the middle of the field.
Yep.
And they've recruited a halfback, but they probably need some middle forwards.
Yeah, I think they need some tough experience forwards, Denny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I reckon if Wayne goes there, I reckon that's what he'll recruit, because he did it at the Dragons as well.
Yeah.
You know, the Jeremy Smiths, the Neville Costigans, real hard experience with that good group of young blokes, good back line. That would be the blueprint, I reckon, if Wayne goes there.
That seems to be the problem, though, doesn't it? I'm not wrong, Laurie. Like, their problem seems to be up the middle. And they've signed a halfback who... a lot of clubs had the opportunity to sign him, but they didn't all jump at it. And, you know, whether it was a price tag, I don't know. Is there an element of risk signing, you know, a player from England? I think there is. I mean, he's got good raps on him. But, you know, to put him now is like, and to let Lachie Ilias, the guy who they thought was their great hope, let him look around and potentially go, it shows that there's a significant change of thinking. And, you know, but I do still think that their issue is they're going to need forwards. And, like, I mean, you look at Canterbury, they've searched high and low for front rowers that they seem to be making do at the moment, playing in their own style of footy and not needing necessarily that pure power game. The Souths are going to need that power game if they've got a young English halfback. They've got a potentially very good back line with the Whitens and the, you know, the Luttrells and
Campbell Graham.
Cody and all these people. Yeah. You know, Campbell Graham. You know, they've got the makings of a good team still, but they're going to have to relook at their recruiting. And you know, I don't know. And look, Wayne, if they've got Wayne up their sleeve, well and good, right? You sign Wayne in a heartbeat. But if they don't, like, who is there an obvious candidate to take over that club and suddenly make them into the team that they should be? You know, look, if you look at some of the assistants around town, there are some good coaches. Hmm. You know, like, I mean, there's a Josh Hannay at Cronulla who's good, you know. Roosters have got Holbrook. You know, there are coaches around, but I don't know. I don't know if any of them are on their radar.
No. Well, just on that though, Denny. Then if you know Wayne as well as anyone, like I think Wayne is very good at what he does, but also plays the game so well. Oh. And with another coach like, say, Brad Arthur, who's under the pump at Parramatta, would he be angling? Will he be angling both? Wouldn't he?
Well, you know him better, Laurie. Yeah. Laurie, you know him better than me.
Yeah.
And you know that. Well, Wayne, I don't think Wayne's going to come in and start looking at pathways and all that sort of stuff. He's going
to
want
to win.
Say he's got a couple of years at a club. He's going to want a premiership. Correct?
Yes.
That's because that's his big aim, yep. Right? Premierships. And he'd be looking at rosters and going, where's the better chance of a premiership? Although he does have a history of South, right?
Yeah.
It's just what he's going to think he can come in and look like a hero, because he's very good at doing that, and turn a club around in a heartbeat, right?
Mm.
Which club's an easier fix?
Parramatta.
Yeah, Parramatta probably.
Oh, South.
I mean, you've got a very good halfback at Parramatta.
Yeah, I'd rather coach Parramatta.
Mm.
You've got Zach Lomax coming.
Zach's going there. That's right. Yeah.
You've got some really tough forwards.
Good fullback. Yep.
Yeah, but I think Wayne's sprinkle effect at South, the magic dust. I think with that back line, and if you get a couple of experienced old tough nuts in that team to go along with the Kalil Matengis and the Cam Murrays and those type of people, I think you could turn it around pretty quickly.
Danny, I wanted to ask a question. You obviously interviewed Trent Robinson, and we've been speaking about Luke Keary this morning. What do the Roosters do now where we've mentioned that the fact, okay, they're losing a number of players this year, but there's not a lot they can do right now for 2025? No. What do you see?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation for the Roosters. I mean, the player market isn't bristling with superstars. Mm. I mean, the biggest star who was available recently was Jerome Luai, and he's well and truly gone, you know. They're going to need some experienced players. They're losing a lot in the forwards. I'd love to be, if I was a good quality front rower coming on the market right now, because it's going to be a stack of clubs who are desperate for. Like, the Roosters are losing very much a heart and soul player in Jared Rhea Hargreaves. To me, I know they're losing Joey Manu, who's, you know, obviously absolutely brilliant. But what Hargreaves does at that club, the alpha male, the big dog, you know, the enforcer, to me, that's hard to replace. They do have Spencer Lenu coming back, obviously, and Lindsay Collins is a great player. So I guess they've got some good stuff there. But and in their back line's been pretty decimated, hasn't it? I mean, they're going to need Billy Smith to come up next year whenever he's back in next year as well, and emerge as a truly consistent, injury-free top-line centre, because they're looking thin unless they've got stuff coming through, which they apparently do. Apparently they've got a good, I think you were talking about earlier, good junior teams and the like. I think they're going to put faith in Sandon Smith, who, to me, I'm just reversing my car, boys, so sorry about that. Sandon Smith looks like a very good player. But that's a pretty inexperienced halves combo, isn't it? When you're an inexperienced back line, apart from
the great James Tedesco, when you've got, you know, Sam Walkers and Sandon Smith and these guys in their team, all potentially very good players, but not sort of the superstars that they're losing. So, that, you know what the Roosters are like, though. They'll find someone, even if they're, you know, got a year to go or whatever, and maybe make a play for someone decent. But it's a real, I feel like it's a real turning point for the club. And one I find really interesting, I spoke to Trent Robinson for a while yesterday, the whole Angus Crichton situation. He's playing good footy, and he's playing tough, and he's a big body, and he's experienced. But everything you read, he's going.
He hasn't officially signed, though, has he?
And I said that to Trent yesterday. I said, why isn't he in the thoughts? He goes, well, things, you know, it's not set in stone he's going, but it just looks like he is, right? Mm. And now that they've got Keary money and everything else, you know, and they're going to update a few of their young good players, and yes, they recruit well in the juniors and all that sort of stuff, but I'd be hanging on to Angus Crichton if I could. He's still a, to me, he's a quality athlete. So yeah, but they've got a lot. It's a changing time for the Roosters, and it's a big year for them because, you know, I think we talked about last week, they haven't achieved what their roster is, where their roster is at, and they've still got a chance to do it this year and send some of those big guys out as they deserve to sound, particularly a Jared Reed Hargreaves and a Luke Keary. I don't think we've paid enough tribute to what a good player he's been for a long, long time. 3 grand final wins, that speaks for itself. A Clive Churchill medal, just remarkable. And he's got another side to him, Luke Keary, this real competitive side that's what the Roosters value. Robbo talked about this fire that he gets in his eyes and how he just takes charge of things. I mean, the way he played in that grand final when Cooper Cronk was busted was remarkable. And don't forget, when he was at Souths, he told Russell Crowe to nick off when he didn't like some of the things that were going on at that club. So he can stand up for himself, little Luke Keary, and he's been a tough player for a long time.
You wrote in the Sun Herald off the back of the story to emerge last week that Jackson Taupine has lodged a statement of claim against the Bulldogs in the New South Wales Supreme Court. And you wrote about, his dad making a legal threat early on, just after, the supposed incident in July last year, Danny.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. This, as you said, it's going to the courts, and I don't know if it'll get there or not. But what's interesting is that, there was a text message that came from his dad, I think it was the day after, like within hours of that wrestling session, setting up for a court case straight up. And, you know, that shows where the family was coming from. But what is also interesting is in the, and I've had this confirmed by people at the Bulldogs, the day after or the training session after the alleged incident, the incident that took place, the wrestling session, that he was on field with Seraldo, the coach, and the trainer, Travis Toomer, and they were asking about that session, and he said he had no problem with the session. Now, that's going to be... I put that to the lawyers that are representing Jackson, and they gave me a legal answer. And his only issue at the time was he didn't understand why he was being punished. He didn't feel like he was late for the session. So he didn't raise a problem when asked about it, about the session. So this will obviously be part of the court case that goes on. And let's hope everyone can settle it. It feels like this is designed to get some sort of extra compensation for Jackson. And, you know, I don't know what he's going to do football-wise. I know his name was floated at clubs recently as well. And there's been stories about that. So let's just hope it works out for Jackson in some capacity, because we don't like seeing a bloke feel the way he does. And I can't, you've got to just take into account, A, his mental health situation, and B, if he genuinely now feels that that session was unfair, you've got to take that into account. And let's hope it works out for both parties.
Have to leave it there, Denny. Thanks so much, mate.
Wish me luck in the rain at South.
Enjoy.
You feel sorry for me, Loz?
I do, Denny, but you know what? I will know that you'll get to the bottom of what's going on there today.
Well, I didn't give you a direct answer to that, but it doesn't feel great out here.
No, I could imagine.
Go and get Pup next week too.
he's an easy target.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Leicester City clinched the championship this morning with a 3-0 win over Preston. So they are promoted. They're already promoted to the Premier League again next season. In the LPGA yesterday, Aussie Hannah Green, she defended her LA Championship title, finishing 12 under. She was three clear of the pack, so she pocketed just more than 850,000 Australian. So the 27-year-old likely off to the Paris Games as one of our representatives there as well. But she's been in pretty good form on the LPGA Tour this year. Geez, just some other Premier League news I'm seeing, that 16 of the clubs have voted in favour of developing plans to introduce a spending cap, which would limit the outlay on transfers, wages, agents' fees. How about the three clubs that opposed it? Chelsea abstained. Manchester City, Manchester United and Aston Villa, the three clubs that opposed it, with Chelsea, as I mentioned, abstaining. So it's still a lot of hoops to be jump through before that's ratified.
That would be huge if it got through. My gut feeling is it won't, yeah, but that same. Would be huge.
Yeah. We'll speak to Mossy about that later in the week. And you're hearing, if you're just tuning in, the voice of Brad Rosen joining us this morning. Now, the Illawarra Hawks, I see, Brad, in the NBL, look set to retain Gary Clark and Tyler Harvey.
Massive.
And it also appears Justin Simon's up for grabs as well. And former King and Hawk. He was Defensive Player of the Year, wasn't
he? Yeah, he's great. So the first one, Gary Clark was the number one signing they had to get done. Mm. He was an All-NBL first team, pretty much on one knee there at the end of the season as well, and was still killing it. The key was they had to bring him back, obviously. Tatum is the coach. Justin Tatum, which of course is Jason Tatum's dad. They signed him. He did a great job. And there was a coach that got fired halfway during the year, and he took over and took him, you know, to a semi-final spot. So he was great. Gary Clark was huge. Tyler Harvey's an interesting one, low to mid-30s years of age, but my understanding is after 1 year he becomes naturalised. So in the NBL, if people are unsure, you can only have a maximum of three imported players. Tyler Harvey takes one of those import spots, but after 1 year, if you become naturalised, he's now an import that is an Australian spot. So a massive coup to be able to get that. So what you're basically having now, that means they can go out and get three more Americans. So a very big signing. There would have been some people that wanted him. I'm sure it would be at least a 2 or 3 year deal, and two very good signings.
How does it all work, Brad? Because I'm assuming there'd be a marquee allowance in there.
There is.
So there's a salary cap.
Yep.
Marquee allowance.
Marquee allowances. Then they have a next star. So the next star does not cover under the cap. And you have to sign 11 contracted players. But if you have a next star, he's the 12th.
Right.
So you can actually have 12 players signed, but one of the, you can only have 11 signed, but if you have a next star, that's classed as the 12th. There's a lot. Then there's a soft cap and there's so many things.
So what would the big clubs say? We'll just pick Sydney, the Kings, for instance. They're a big club. Mm. Illawarra.
Yes.
Aren't as big.
Yes.
Would they spend the same amount?
No.
No.
No, you wouldn't be able to because, Sydney, look, from all reports, they're saying Xavier Cook signed the biggest ever deal in the NBL. Now, there was talk people have been on 800,000, 900,000, so that's going to be around that figure, you would think. Let's say that if it was a million, the cap is, in theory, 1.75. Don't quote me exactly.
No.
1.7 something.
Yeah.
Now, the minimum salary, I think, is about 75 grand. So that leaves 10 players with 750.
Yeah,
right. So do the sums. It can't work, right? So you can spend more and then you pay luxury tax and you do all those things. Yeah. But obviously, when you spend more, you've got to bring it in.
Yeah.
It's nice to go and spend. You can spend $3-4 million on the team, but you don't want to lose $1 million each year.
No, exactly.
So it's a very difficult situation.
And we're Sydney-centric here. So obviously, the Kings is the shining light.
Yeah.
But would Perth be the next biggest club or the biggest
probably
club?
Melbourne. probably Melbourne spending wise, I would think. But then, you know, Perth is huge because they've got Bryce Cotton, who would be on good money. But those big teams, they put their, and the money is so much better now, like what it was. I mean, 10 years ago, our league was falling.
Yeah.
And then a Larry Kesselman comes in, has changed the league.
He's spent a white night, hadn't he?
Unbelievable. I mean, my understanding is that, you know, teams now are being valued at $30, $40 million, like big, big dollars. And it's, you know, ratings are up. Well, obviously, I'm part of the commentary team, and we get told about things that are going on. Ratings have gone through the roof this season. Unbelievable. And they're looking at it, doing it more next season. So it's been great times for the NBL.
And the Kings, Brian Gorgian, shoring up his coaching team.
Yes, so Billy Tomlinson was my coach when I was captain of the Kings. He was a head coach. And then he was an assistant coach, and he was with Gorge for the all the time that he was at the Kings. And the 3 years that, well, 2 and a bit years that I was there with the Kings, Billy was there as well. So myself, Gorge, and Billy. Billy's a great guy, very, very knowledgeable, fantastic assistant coach. I obviously knew a while ago that as soon as Gorge had the job, he's been in Hong Kong with him, he's gone to China with him. So Gorge and Billy, it was never in doubt that Billy would be there.
Would you ever get back into coaching?
Oh, look, you know, sometimes it's that, you know, scratch you want to itch. Yeah. I won't lie. I really enjoy it.
You never say never.
You never say never. Yeah. That's right. But I got to be honest, I love doing the commentary.
Yeah.
I just love it. You get to go to the games. You get that feel, you know, the sense of it. You're there 2 hours before. You talk and you get all that stuff.
And if you could just go and coach a rep side or something like that, well, give you a little bit of it. That gives you your itch, doesn't it?
So it gets all of that. And you love what you
do. It's a full-on commitment if you're taking on
and especially now, NBL it's team. Even more. Yeah. Like when I did it 20 years ago, that was a massive commitment.
Yeah.
That's probably minimal now.
Yeah.
You know, you have to live, breathe, walk it, talk it. There's so much that goes on. But look, the Kings will be good this year. Yeah, no question. And a good signing because don't forget, Brian Gorgian is the head coach of the Boomers. They're off their way to Paris. Yeah. There's a lot of work to be done between now and Paris. We're in a very difficult draw at Paris. And brutal. He's got some serious decisions to make on who he takes. He's named a 22-man squad. I think 8 automatic picks, and there's 4 spots up for grabs. So
the next phase we go through, like a lot of those experienced folks move on.
Yes. Paddy Mills and Ingles would be the two. Yep.
So we get the new guys in.
Josh Giddey's too.
So this group, will it be better than the previous group, do you think?
No, because I think you have to go through Olympics to understand how to play at Olympics or Worlds. We didn't have a great Worlds, right? But teams are so much better. Like that Olympics, Paddy Mills was outstanding, right? And then you've got Joe Ingles, and we had, you know, the players to fill in. The Worlds wasn't so good because we struggled, and we're bringing young guys through now, the Josh Greens and the Dante Exum, who's been outstanding, and Dyson Daniels and Josh Giddey. All these guys are our next ones, but they're still very raw, fantastic players. But international football basketball is so different to an NBA, and you've really got to be able to adapt to that. Yep. The USA, bringing the team from hell. They are, it's gold for them and nothing else, where everyone else is playing for silver. Yeah.
So international basketball, is there a lot more emphasis on
defense? In NBA, you have a situation where it's called, you know, illegal defense. So if you're watching a game, you will notice a center or a big, you're not allowed to camp in the key. They've got to have one side out. You can't go and you can double and things like that. So there's a legal difference, which opens up the court, hence why people dunk more, why scores are 150 to 130. In international basketball, that's 80 to 70. And that's where sometimes US have struggled because you camp it in. They've got to knock shots down from the outside and they're not getting their steals and their layups and their dunks that they do. But with the team they're taking now, Steph, LeBron, KD, you know, Anthony, it's going to be big. But I'm so looking forward to the Olympics. It's going to be an outstanding basketball tournament.
Give us a call, 1353 53. Just some cricket news. Australia's 15-man T20 World Cup squad's going to be named later this week. News Corp saying that Steve Smith won't be there, nor will Jake Fraser-McGurk, despite absolutely tearing it up in the IPL, although I do see overnight he just had a little bit of an off night, 12 off 7 balls. Delhi were beaten overnight.
Who's in
a shame.
That squad?
Well,
what are they saying?
The likes of, Stoinis, Cameron Green. Looks like both keepers, Wade and Inglis, will be in there. Agar,
Marsh's
Nathan Ellis.
Captain, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Warner, Maxwell, Tim David. So it's just hard to fit him in. But gee, I would have found a spot for him. Fraser McGurk. He's still yet to play for Australia in T20s. Mm. He's played 2 1-day internationals.
And did I see Gilly, Pakistan coach, Jason Gillespie?
Yes, he is. Yeah, test coach,
right. Yeah, it's nice to see the coaches getting out and doing what they've got to do because he left South Australia recently.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think everyone was looking forward to seeing Fraser McGurk play in a World Cup, given what he's done.
Can he still
so
come
far.
In, though? Could he still, like, they could bring him in, I guess, but you'd have to think it's a long shot.
It's 15. Yeah. They pick 15 and that's that.
Yeah, but if you lose a player for the tournament, you can bring someone in.
Yes, up till a certain point.
Yeah, because I remember asking, why do you take two keepers in? And the response was, if you've got a keeper that is only missing for two games, you need another keeper.
Because you can't bring
in the
one
squad.
In.
Yeah, because otherwise, if he elects to go, well, he's gone for the tournament. So you just have it there in case.
Just seeing Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs has signed an extension as well. 2 years extension. $34.25 million, 17 fully guaranteed.
How did they go in the draft, the Chiefs? Were they looking for anything in particular? Did they get
needed actually some wide receivers.
You're a connoisseur of the
They needed some
NFL.
Probably a wide receiver or two. I'd have to go back to see what they did was.
Who was the big winner then?
In the draft?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Bears.
Not Taylor Swift?
Well.
The Bears.
Taylor doesn't even need his contract. Taylor's fine.
My Chargers, how did we go?
We. Very well, Loz.
Very Raiders?
Well, the Raiders needed a quarterback, and they didn't get one.
We didn't get one, so I'll stick with
the Chargers. Can I just say, my daughter never knew NFL before Travis Kelce. Now, we watch all these games.
Yeah.
He's changed the sport for him. Or Tay-Tay has.
I would say the same thing with my daughter, too. Mm. They know of the NFL, and they know the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. I don't know whether she know all the teams. And she hasn't watched an NFL game, but she certainly knew that he was an NFL player and knew the Chiefs.
Dick Fane on tomorrow to have all the fallout from the draft, and we'll get his take on the NBA playoffs as well. And today it could be the end for the Lakers. And
can they spring a surprise, Brad? Because I reckon if they can, I reckon they could go on.
Win three straight against Denver.
Yeah,
I'll
do.
Eat my own head. If that happens,
yeah,
there you go.
Well, you're going back to Denver today and you win. All of a sudden, they become nervous.
They would.
Because then it goes back to LA.
Correct. Now it's 1-1-1. That's right. It goes two games, two at home, two on the road, 1-1-1. Can't see it happening, but for it to happen, and I mentioned it earlier, the support cast have to be amazing. That's why I don't think it can.
All right.
Well, I know LeBron and AD.
Can I say this to you then? If it was the final, all right. So, all the semis have been
NBA
played.
Finals,
NBA
yeah,
final.
Yep.
Would you still have that strong opinion? Or would you say it would be more confident that maybe the Lakers could?
No, I'd be the same.
You'd be the same?
Yeah, I'd be the same. It's just, I mean, history says it as well. Three down, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
LeBron beats history.
3-1 down against Golden State Warriors in, what was that, 16 or whatever
16.
It was.
Yeah.
Different team, different players. LeBron, 8 years, 10 years, 8 years younger. He's still playing amazing, but again, I just keep coming back to that support cast. You can't rely on it.
Well done to Kyemma Kiwi on the text line, who's won the Menengel package for Saturday night. Good morning, boys, he says. My NRL theme multi at Menengel today. So he's put some thought into this. Race one, number six, Tedesco, each way. Fast out of the blocks. Ability to weave his way through the field. Into race nine, number one, Turbo Tommy. Last start winner, hamstring all good now, and off the inside gate, all the way winner. Get on, Loz. Kyemma Kiwi. He's done well. Deserved winner.
Well, he's put a bit of time and effort into it.
Yeah, he has.
As other people have too, but there's a bit of a footy theme associated with this one. So well done to Kyemma Kiwi.
Steve Hewlett, good morning. How are you?
I'm really well. We're excited about the start of the Queensland Carnival, official start anyway, this weekend with the Victory Stakes. Look, Clint McDonald, I think, is heading north with a youngster that won on Friday night. I don't know if you saw this win, but it was outstanding. A horse called Angel Capital. Then on Saturday, produces another youngster that won a $1 million race called Stanley Express. And a few weeks ago, he won the Blue Diamond with Hayasugi. So, gee, he's got some two-year-old firepower here. Will join me, Clint McDonald. Phil Stokes about Climbing Star winning the Sangster on the weekend. She heads to the Goodwood, of course. What about the Archer? This is a good story. They bought this horse as a tried horse online some years ago, Namazu, and they didn't pay a lot of money for him, and there he was winning the Archer, $750,000 on the weekend. We'll talk to his trainer in Ricky Vale. And Front Page is nominated for the Victory Stakes in Brizzy on the weekend, but also the Wagga Town Plate. We're going to find out where he's going and speak to his managing owner, Paul Duray, on the program.
Okay, great stuff, Steve.
Pleasure.
We'll catch you shortly. Was it last year it just destroyed them in the Town Plate, or the year before?
Pit by a post.
That's
by
right.
A bees, you know what.
It was the year before it won by it. Like,
yeah, it was the year before.
Yeah, okay, right. Dave Stanley, good morning.
Good morning, Jared. Good morning, boys.
Stano, how are you, brother?
I'm pumped. It's a big week. Obviously, Wagga Cup week. Hawkesbury standalone Saturday, and then before you know it, we'll have the Gosford meeting standalone, Scone. So it's a good little time. We get away from Randwick and Rose Hill, which we've been saying, and we get to get the mobile studio rolling. You're pumped to go back to Wagga?
My time to shine.
Well, it is.
My time to shine.
Yeah. You just get up and about, don't you?
Got the spring in my step this week.
Yeah.
Nothing beat him and Paul Kelly on the dance floor. I think it was about 3 years ago.
That was, yeah.
We had a dance
off. Two hard footballers.
You won together.
Yeah. Now, there's a contribution.
He tried to top me, but I got him.
I know it's 8:55.
He'll be the break. He'll be the worm. The worm got him.
Swan? Oh, would he be the best swan of all time?
Jeez.
In my eyes.
I know it's 8:55 and we've started up the text line here. But there you go. Is Paul Kelly the best swan?
Oh, best captain. He's inspirational leader.
And one of the hardest footballers ever. Yeah. So to see
he would have been a great rugby league player, Kel.
Yeah? Did he ever play?
Mate, we played against him all the time.
So who did he play for?
He played for a team called Brothers in Wagga.
Right.
And everyone hated Brothers, didn't they?
Kangaroos.
Oh, I can't.
No, Brothers, we had a bit of a soft spot for.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Why the soft spot?
Magpies.
But we know what everyone
still destroyed
about the
them. Oh,
everyone hated you,
right. Everyone so, what position did Paul play?
Halfback.
Okay. And what were you playing at the time? Were you playing you in the halves at the time? Yeah.
Alternated between 5'8 and centre.
Yeah, okay.
Because we had a guy that by the name of Jason Lydon. And Lido would either play 5'8 or centre, would swap. But he ended up playing close to 200 first grade games too. Wow. We played. I'll tell you the reason he got into AFL.
Yeah.
Because Brothers were in the junior league. And then when it got to 15s, if you wanted to continue to play with Brothers, they were in group 13, not group 9. The three other Wagga teams were in group 9. And group 9 went 16s, 18s, reserve grade, first grade. Group 13 went 17s, 19s, reserve grade, first grade. And I think he wanted to take a year off.
Yeah, okay.
And played AFL. And then
I still
never
got my mind
back
on who's the best swan. That's never a fantastic question.
There you go. Who's the
I'm
best swan?
Back Barry Round Day, you know, like, but no, not
nah, Kel. Kel for me would be the best.
Yeah, I think it has to be Kel, actually. Well, Goods, Kelly, Lockett, probably. Would they be close to your top
Goods
three?
Be up there.
Right up there.
Plugger.
I
just
don't
maybe
think
because
so.
He was at the back end of his career.
I don't think so. Kel started there when
he was big in St Kilda more than here.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think you've got to have Goods there in the top three.
Oh, top three for sure. But me personally, I'm Kelly all the way.
It's a good question.
There you go. Well, the only reason now
he's a Brownlow winner.
Yeah, and it puts it in perspective because at the William Farrow Hotel Middle a couple of years ago. Here we saw the great Laurie Daly and the great Paul Kelly, two of the, you know, the hard men of their respective sports. I think you were dancing to Lionel Richie. I think you were doing a few spins to
maybe
some of the other 70s
the
classic. Oh. It was outstanding. So that's Wagga Cup coming up, which we're all pumped and looking forward to. And there will be plenty of people coming out of the woodwork at Wagga Cup in terms of people that this is their yearly event. So looking forward to seeing how it goes. Matt Dunn's going to join us. Richard Callender on Racing HQ today. James Heddo, because we talk a lot about obviously what's happening in Wagga, but we're also going to be at Hawkesbury Saturday morning. They've got their big standalone meeting. A lot of people have booked out accommodation in and around the Hawkesbury-Richmond area, and I know that like all their corporate packages and tents, they're all full. There are still some GAs. We'll talk to James about that. I'm going to chat with Nevesh Ramdani, who's back in town in Sydney. He's going to be joining the ATC. David Van Dyke's got a nice horse going today to Grafton, and Cody Morgan has some nice chances today as well. So we'll find out if we can find a winner and check in with what's happening around the traps, boys. But yeah, looking forward to a big week on the road.
Looking forward to it myself, Des. When are you down there?
I'll be heading to Wagga tomorrow afternoon. Right. Town Plate Thursday. And then, by the way, if you're going to the Calcutta on Thursday night, which we all will be.
At the William Farrah.
At the Farrah. Mm. That's had the big revamp. You're and hosting? They've got, I believe so. Myself and Barney, and I'm going to be at the Town Plate.
What happened to the old auctioneer?
I'm going to be there on Thursday.
He gets hammered, doesn't he?
He gets hammered, the auctioneer. So buy your tickets now, though. That's the biggest.
He's
if you're buying a big bundle of tickets, you can get onto the pub now, give them a call, and they'll be able to sort it. Yeah, that poor bloke. I took his gig. That was his...
Your grass cutting.
Mate, that was his one time to shine. And I've just bazzled him.
Oh, you're
speared
bazzled,
him straight away. Mate, gone.
No.
I've never seen a bloke with a redder
just
face.
Just dejected.
Bradley, thank you, mate.
My pleasure. Thank you, boys. It's a pleasure to be here. An honour.
Beautiful.